And greetings again, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters, anyone out there who has the ears to hear, as Jesus might say, welcome to Jesus Stories. And we're in our 13th of 24 stories. We're right smack dab in the middle of the feeding of the multitude. We left off last week. Just as Jesus was saying, bring the loaves and fishes here and have the people sit down on the grass in groups of 50 and 100. Amen. We'll finish that up where we left off on Friday, then we'll go straight ahead into the rest of the feeding of the multitude. So, let's get settled for a second here. And let's listen, especially for what God might have to say to you today in this great story. So, the last paragraph from last Friday. When Jesus said, bring the loaves and fishes here, Andrew brought the basket to him. And all the people, about 5,000 of them, sat down upon the grass in groups. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, gave a blessing. He broke first the loaves and then the fishes into small pieces and gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. All the people ate, and all were filled, and there seemed to be no end to the fragments of food. And now into today's half of the story. When everyone had had enough to eat, Jesus said to his disciples, now gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing shall be wasted. So the disciples gathered up the food that was left, filling 12 baskets with what remained after all the 5,000 men, women, and children had eaten their fill. Excitement ran through the crowd as they realized what had happened. Many of them said, this is indeed the prophet who was to come into the world. It is he who is meant to be our king. As Jesus looked at them, he saw what they were thinking, and he knew that they wanted to carry him off and make him their earthly king. But the kingdom of Jesus was not of this world, and he could not allow them to do what they were thinking. So he told his disciples to get into the boat and cross before him toward Capernaum on the other side of the sea, while he himself sent all the people away. When all the others had gone, the multitude, as well as the disciples, Jesus went up the mountain alone to pray. When night came, he was still praying alone, high on the mountainside. His disciples were well on their way across the inland sea to Capernaum, but high gusty winds had come with the darkness, and the little ship was tossing about in the midst of a growing storm. Jesus came down from the mountain and stood alone on the shore, watching his disciples in their distant battle with the waves. After a while, he went toward them on the sea, walking across the water as if it had been solid land beneath his feet. The disciples looked up from their rowing when they saw the shadowy figure coming toward them through the night. And at the sight of someone walking on the water, they nearly dropped their oars with fear. They had seen strange things, but none so strange as this. And at first, they did not even think that the figure might be their leader, Jesus. It is a spirit, they cried out in terror. Be of good cheer, Jesus said at once. It is I. Do not be afraid. If it is indeed you, Lord, said Peter, then let me come toward you on the water. Come, said Jesus. Peter stepped bravely from the tossing boat onto the surface of the water and began to walk. But when the strong wind blew against him and churned the seas beneath his feet, he suddenly became afraid. He felt his feet go under. He felt his big, strong body beginning to sink. "Lord, save me," he cried out. And Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him. "O ye of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And Jesus guided Peter to the boat across the foaming sea and helped him climb aboard. The wind ceased at once and they went along their way. Again, his disciples were amazed by his extraordinary powers, for even the miracle of the loaves and fishes had not taught them what manner of being they had in their midst. Now they worshiped him, and they said, "You are in truth the Son of God." Yet they still said it more in awe than in true belief. Nevertheless, they thought about these things as they crossed the sea on calm waters and continued with their mission on the other side. And they thought about them as they traveled with Jesus from Galilee to Phoenicia and back again to Palestine. Simon Peter, in particular, was very thoughtful while they journeyed. Finally, Jesus and the 12 made their way to Caesarea Philippi at the foot of the great Mount Hermon. On the way, he questioned his disciples. "Who do people say I am?" he asked. "Some say you are John the Baptist," they answered, "and some say you are Elijah. Yet others, that you are Jeremiah, or another of the old prophets that has risen again." "But who do you say that I am?" asked Jesus. And Simon Peter answered, saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus rejoiced when he heard Peter's words. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah," he said, "for flesh and blood has not told you this, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now he knew that his disciples, or at least one of them, believed him to be the promised Christ. But he also knew that other people did not yet believe it, and he wanted them to find out for themselves. So he commanded his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. He began to teach them then about what the future held in store. "I will go to Jerusalem," he said, "and suffer many things at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes. All of them will reject me and abuse me. I shall be killed, but after 3 days, I will rise again." They were shocked at what they heard. Peter took his master aside and reproved him for saying such things, for he was convinced that Jesus could prevent the fate he was foretelling. It was true. Jesus had the power to prevent what lay ahead. But it was God's plan that his Son should bear the burden of man's sins. "It cannot be, Lord," Peter said. "Such things must never happen to you." "You are talking like Satan the tempter," Jesus said to him. "It will be as I say. You shall not be a stumbling block to me in the things I have to do. Still, you do not understand, for you are thinking man's thoughts, not the thoughts of God." They traveled on in silence for some time. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man wishes to come after me, let him deny all worldly desires, take up his cross, and follow me. He is not to live selfishly, but for the Lord his God. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever gives up his life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will be saved. For what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is there anything of equal value? I say to you, there is not. But God will reward each man according to what he does. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up Mount Hermon with him to pray. And as he prayed, the expression of his face was changed, and his whole appearance glowed. His face shone like the sun. His garments became as bright as white and glittering snow. Two men appeared to talk to him, not his disciples, and not men of the earth, but Moses and Elijah in all their heavenly glory. And they spoke to him about the death awaiting him in Jerusalem. Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep and did not hear the talk. But when they awoke, they saw the glory of Jesus and the two figures with him. And Peter knew who they were. He cried out, "Master, it is good that we are here. If you will, let us make three tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." But he scarcely knew what he was saying. So dumbfounded was he by the amazing sight. As he spoke, a bright cloud came over and overshadowed them, drawing them into its midst. And out of it there came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." The disciples fell on their faces in fear. Jesus came to them through the brightness of the cloud and touched them. "Rise up," he said. "Do not be afraid." When they looked up, the cloud was gone, and they were alone on the mountain with Jesus. Of the two heavenly visitors, there was no sign. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus told them to tell no one about the vision they had seen, not until after he had risen from the dead. And they kept it a secret to themselves, but they questioned among themselves what Jesus had meant by rising from the dead. He had said it before, and he would say it again. And in time to come, they would find out what he meant.